You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James, no co-host today. There's no Danny, no Luke. They're both out today. But I have probably this is going to be one of the coolest interviews ever. We have the CEO and the owner, the guy who runs and has set up the entire World Series of Comedy, Mr. Joe Lowers, like flowers without the F. So when you think about it, if you want to know, that's how you say it, Joe Lowers. And he's going to come talk to us about the World Series of Comedy, which I've heard about for years, and I'm excited. Joe, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, man. Lots of pressure.
No pressure.
Good intro. I'm like, oh, I better have information.
You do have information. Here's the funny thing is, I've heard about the World Series of Comedy from all kinds of people. I know Jerry Corley mentioned it to me before. Jeff Shaw, who did well there, he talked to me about it. I know I've heard from a lot of comedians how amazing it is. I lived in Vegas for years, and I had no idea this was a thing. I feel like a complete moron now.
When did you live in Vegas?
I lived in Vegas first from 97 to 99, and then I moved back in 2003 until 2012, something around there, and I moved back.
Oh, yeah, so you were there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
We started in 2010.
Okay.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah. I was big in the UFC at the time. I wasn't doing comedy at the time. I worked with a lot of UFC fighters. Where the new UFC stadium is in Vegas, if you're familiar with that. My gym was right down the street from there. I trained with a lot of like big name UFC guys. So I was more into fighting than I was comedy, but I was always the kidder. I was the jokey guy when you sparred and stuff anyway. So it was like, okay.
A friend of mine, we end up being in a video where, you know, when they do all the fighters in the house,
or whatever,
one of the first seasons when they had the fight at Hard Rock.
Yeah.
I think it was. My buddy and I are good friends. We were into watching it, and we'd go and he'd get good things, but we ended up being in the broadcast, up in the stands.
Wow.
And then every time they replay it, he takes a screenshot and sends it. It's like, we're famous.
That is one of the best. That's what set The Ultimate Fighter up. That's what made that show awesome. I love some reality TV, but I hate most reality TV. Like I worked on The Bachelor for two seasons and it was okay. But I love the idea of behind the scenes, seeing what goes into stuff. Even though I know they fake a lot of stuff, I love that. I wish we had
I wanted to do that with the World Series for years.
I was going to say, I've always wanted to see like a real reality show following comedians through their day-to-day, what they do. Maybe it's like, because they tried it with Last Comic Standing where they did have them living in a house and stuff or whatever. It didn't really go well. But I think if you go through a process of showing comedians working together, writing jokes or roasting each other or whatever, and then kind of growing from there, I think there could be. And then the World Series of Comedy, I actually worked on the World Series of Poker at the Rio for a while. And so, obviously those two things are connected. That's a genius way to do it, by the way.
Well, our VP is a big poker player. And so I love to play poker also. And we met playing poker in Vegas and became good friends. And then he got involved with the festival, Jason, and now he's involved. I helped build the final table of the World Series of Poker.
Wow.
When they first changed it from just a normal oval to a little bit of a rounder one, and had the blue towel and all lit up and stuff like that, a friend of mine's company was building it, and he asked me if I wanted to help him because he knows I like to build stuff. And I was like, yeah, that'd be really cool. And I ended up getting ESPN badges for myself to go up on stage to watch the final table. And I'd done that many times and figured out where the cameras were for the final when somebody won, and I've been in several poker magazines behind winners.
That's hilarious.
And I have a degree in advertising, so I made ESPN badges for everybody that worked at my show in Vegas and stuff, and we all went and set up on the stage.
So how did the World Series of Comedy get started? Was it like you wanted to do more comedy, or you wanted to bring comedy to the masses? Like, how did it get started? What was the kind of initiation there?
It's It started in Pittsburgh. Okay. 2 years prior to 2010 is what we call the official year for the World Series and what it is now.
Okay.
But prior to that, there was 2 years in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
And I've been doing comedy for, I think I'm on my 27th year. And I was on the road as a headliner, and I was traveling around, and I'd have guys up. I love comedy, and I love helping comics.
Same.
And I would come home to my home club in Pittsburgh and tell the owner, who I knew well, and say, hey, man, this comic just opened up for me. They were great. You should hire him. And he was like, when I see somebody perform, and if I think they're funny and they're good, I want everyone should enjoy what I just enjoyed. So I'm like, oh man, my friends in Pittsburgh would love to see this person. They're really funny. And he kind of blew me off. So I asked him what his slowest month was. And I think he said June. I think that's what it was. And I said, give me $10,000 and guarantee me 8 weeks of work, and I'll pack the club for the entire month. So the first World Series was a month long. And we had like a host or an MC spot or something, shows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or something like that. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday were the feature shows and comics were coming in, and we gave away $10,000, and it went so well that the following year he wanted me to do it again. Well, that was the year I moved to Las Vegas to try to do my show. And I was like, so I flew back and forth and did it. And then I quit, and I'm like, I can't do that and focus on my show that I moved to Las Vegas to do.
Right.
And so I was doing that. And then my host for the World Series, my host for my show in Vegas, David Tobey, was, we were talking and I was telling him about it. And he's like, oh, we got to do that again. And I go, I don't have $10,000 to give away. And he's like, well, we got to figure something out. And I got to thinking about it, and I was like, well, I think comics would probably rather have work. So I called every club that I had been headlining for and stuff in the first year, and I just explained to them, I go, this is something I'm trying. I've never done it. I don't know what kind of talent I'm going to get. Give me a week of feature work at your club for the winter, and that should help me get better talent, and then you'll get good comics. And I ended up with 37 weeks of work the first year.
Wow. Man, yeah, any comedian would kill for that.
Yeah, so it was pretty – it really went off really, really well. And then the second year I was a real tough person to work with because I was a nervous wreck because I was like, maybe I got lucky.
Yeah.
Like, do I know what I'm doing? I don't know. I mean, I have ideas and I just did them and they worked. And, I mean, it was the first year we had – 101 comics get to perform in the main event. There was 130 some, and I'm like, oh, what? Well, these other comics came out. I didn't expect them to come out. I just thought the 101, but these other ones won. So they came out for the seminars and things. So I was like, oh, I got to get them a show. So I threw together a late night show for the comics that came out. Because I knew if you're a comic, you're going to a festival, you want to perform whether you're in the contest or not.
Yeah.
And then the next year we had 150, and we average about 170 to almost 200 comics that come to the festival, the main event every year. We get close to 500 to 600 comics to register, and everybody who registers can come to the main event. And I tell comics all the time when they really get to know me, they ask me, they're like, should I register? And I go, if you're not planning, if you're registering because you want to win this, keep your money. It's not about winning. It's about networking. Contests suck. I run one of the largest ones in the country, and that's not why you should do it. You should want to win. Everybody's going to be competitive that way, but you should be doing it for the networking, for getting to know people, and you should be planning to come to Vegas, right, or wherever the main event is. And I think it's going to be in Las Vegas again this year. But we're still working on trying to sign a couple locations and talking to a few places, but if you're not planning on coming, then save your money. Unless you look at the list of satellites, you go, man, I really want to get into Punchline. Well, then, sign up and you can go showcase there.
I signed up for all the West Coast ones, all the ones on the West Coast, because I live out here. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do it. And I, what's funny is I put this off for a couple of years now, where I was like, I'll never win, so I shouldn't do it. But then after talking to more people, especially like Jeff Shaw, and he was like, look, this is a networking opportunity. This is an experience opportunity for you. It's not, you're probably not going to win, right? He's like, I'm not going to beat around the bush. You're probably not going to win, but it's going to be an opportunity for you to get to meet comedians, to meet other club owners, bookers, other people who are doing podcasts, shows, all the stuff that you do. And now you can network with them. And I was like, you know what? That's genius. So that was my selling point.
I think that, like, for you, and you chose all the West Coast ones.
Yeah.
I think a lot of comics think that I'm going to get mad if they cancel, if they get in.
Right.
I'm not. We're at 200 and some registrations for the year. There's over 100 and some comics that have chose the first satellite in Ohio. Only the top 40 get to get in. So there's going to be some comics that don't get in. I would tell somebody like you, you should put down Ohio because it's the first one. And even if you're not planning on going to it, you put it down. We watch your video then. We score it. If you get in, then you know you beat out 100 some comics to get in. You'll probably get into the ones that you want to get in. Oh. And then you just email me and say, no, I can't make it.
Gotcha.
And I don't care. I pull your name off and you just made somebody else happy. They get moved up. If you don't make it in, then you go, oh, crap, I have time to send in another video.
Right.
Because you're allowed to give us another video if you don't make it in. So you might as well do a little test run with that video and see if it's good enough to get in. And if not, then you can have that opportunity to send in another one.
So you could submit a video, or you can go to the satellite, or do you have to submit a video to get into the satellite?
You submit a video to get into everything. So you have to submit a video to get into the satellites.
Okay.
And we watch all the videos, and then we choose the top four. Everybody gets a score, and it gets put into a spreadsheet and gets sorted, and then everybody's ranked.
Okay.
And then as people drop out, I copy their name, move them to the bottom, and move everybody up.
Now, so I could sign up for every single satellite and only go and end up going to like the four on the West Coast, right?
Yeah, you can go to any ones you want to. So you could, if you, since you signed up early, you get to do all 12.
Oh, okay.
Today, we changed it for the January deal. You can only sign up for 8.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well,
and then February, it'll be 6. And then March, it'll be, I think, 4. And then after March, you only get the normal registration is the main event and one satellite.
Now, how does it work? Because, you know, like with COVID, a lot of comedians didn't get stage time. So their video might be from 2 years ago or a year and a half ago or whatever. How is that going to work for? Because my last video is from right before the pandemic actually shut it down. I think it's actually the week before, if I remember right. We did the Ice House in Pasadena. We did a show and it was great. And then like right after that, everything closed down.
We've watched videos from comics that are 7 years old.
Okay. All right.
But when we do get them, we're like, oh, really? I mean, like, you can't get us another newer video?
Right.
Last year, we were much more lenient on kind of complaining about that amongst ourselves. Because I get frustrated when I see an old one. But last year, we really gave a lot of leeway to that because we understand.
Right.
But we also, last year, we started telling comics, we would rather see an old video from you than a Zoom show.
Right.
And we had some comics send us Zooms, and we set up a whole system where one of my hosts, every time we'd get the link, we'd click on them to check if it was in a club or a Zoom. If it was a Zoom show, we'd send them we had this email set up where we sent them stuff and just said, this is probably not going to get you in. You know, you should submit another video. And sometimes people would say, that's all I have. And we're like, okay. It's just that we're looking at the work that we give away is for club work inside a club in front of an audience. We could watch a Zoom show and hear good material, but we can't judge your stage presence, your other things about you. So you lose points that way.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And then what length of video are you wanting to see somebody? Just their best 2 minutes, their best five?
Like 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay.
So anytime someone sends me a video that's a little bit shorter, I'm just like, what are you doing? You just cut your chances amongst, if you're going up against 100 other comics and every one of them sent in a 5 minute video and you sent in 3 minutes, you just cut your chances. We had one winner 1 year. He sent in a 3 minute video or 2.5 minutes or something like that. I remember clicking on it going, oh, this, I didn't know who he was. I never met him. I watched 2 minutes of his video, gave him one of the best scores I've ever given on a video. That's all he needed. So, I mean, if you have a 2 minute video that's through the roof and you know it's through the roof, he knew it was. It was from a TV show with Fluffy. Ty Rivera. I mean, it was incredible. So, I mean, he just killed it. But we've also gotten short videos and you're watching and you're like, ah, oh, man, I'd like to hear more. And we watch 5 minutes.
That's awesome. And do you accept like videos of somebody cut video together? Or do you want like a full like 5 minute set? So somebody was, they have like 1 minute of their best stuff from the improv and 1 minute at the Ice House and 1 minute at the Comedy Store, like, and they smash it together or whatever, 2 minutes of each of those, something like that. They smash together 5 minutes. Will you watch that or is that going to deter you?
We're going to watch every video that's sent to us. It's scoring-wise, it could hurt them.
Okay.
We are okay with editing if you edit, like kind of like what you just said, if you get a really good minute and then you cut to another club and you get another good minute and you cut to another. But if you cut off a joke or a punchline, there's sometimes people are sending us an edited video like it's a commercial.
Right.
And we gotta go see them to get the good stuff. It's like, no, send us what you got. I mean, you know, so if it's chopped up and edited bad, that's gonna hurt you. Ideally, we like to see an unedited set. And most clubs, most of the things that we do, we try to do it the same as the clubs do.
Right.
From our years of talking with industry and bookers and stuff like that, most comedy clubs don't want to see an edited set.
Right. No, that makes sense. Yeah, I actually have to go edit a longer set down for you. Like, that's my only issue. So I'm working on that.
Yeah. That, I mean, but if you, as long as you don't cut off your punchline.
No.
This is great for you. You registered. Now you get to ask the questions that you.
This is me.
I send everybody to the website to look up the answers for.
Well, no, this is what I do, though. This is the whole point of this podcast, is so that I can ask people like you or ask people in the industry or ask other comedians, because the edge, that this is that little edge that now when people listen, they're going to go, okay, now I know what their mindset is and I know what they're looking for. I know how to prepare myself. It's just a little bit easier. Sometimes you read it on the website and you go, okay, I think I got this. And then you totally fumble something. I've done that a million times. So that's the whole point of the podcast.
This festival was set up, and it wouldn't be around for 12, I think this might be our 13th year, if we're not extremely strict on the rules.
Right.
So, and it's set up in such a way that myself and everyone else on my team are able to still be friends with the comics. So we become friends with a lot of comics, because there's many times that, because I don't get to choose.
Right.
It's set up in such a way that it's a total of all the scores. So even if I tried to get somebody in and give them a really good score, if the other people don't, then they don't get in. So, and I like that about the festival, but I've had some friends that I've gotten to know really well, and they'll send a video in and you click on it and you're like, I've emailed them and go, what are you doing? Like, you're not going to get in with this video. And they're like, well, you know me. And I'm like, no, I know you, but maybe the other three judges don't. You have to send in the best. And sometimes comics get lazy that way. I don't understand why. I know that some comics, maybe you want to register for the festival because you just want to get the experience and come and see stuff like that. But it's so easy to get a video
today.
Back in my day, we had to set up a camera crew, find somebody with a camera, set it up. You would spend lots of money. And then you end up with, you do something stupid on stage and that video's shot.
Yeah.
I think I paid $500 some for my first video to have it edited.
Wow.
I paid $10,000 for a video for colleges.
Wow.
That video got us a lot of colleges and stuff like that. But I did a game show with another comic years ago, and it got us a lot of colleges, but it, and it easily paid for itself. But that's what it was like. Yeah. I used to have a big note on my, in my rules on videos and stuff. Don't use your phone. Because I hated phone videos. I don't care anymore. They're good. They're better. When I have to get a new phone, I think I'm going to keep my old one because the camera's so good on it. I'm like, this is insane how good it is. But turn the phone horizontal. Don't do it like this.
Yeah.
Send a video to your friend or somebody who you know, but maybe he's never seen your show, and ask them. It'd be great if you could watch them watch it. See if they laugh where you think they should. See if they can even understand it.
Yeah.
Buy a tripod. I can go on for 10 days about videos.
Right. What now, when someone registers for the World Series of Comedy, say they don't win any of the satellites, they could still come to the main event, right? Wherever it is, Vegas.
Yep.
And then there's also courses and stuff like what other things happen at the World Series of Comedy for comedians that maybe aren't on the show, that just are there to enjoy? What
sure.
else are they doing?
We have what we call late night shows for every comic who comes out that's registered for the festival but didn't make it into the top 101.
Okay.
So we do everything we can to get every comic up on stage. So far, we've always been able to do that. I fear that someday we may get 250 comics coming to the festival, and I'll still try, though. If I have to have an all-night comedy show, I would do something like that.
Well, if it's Vegas, you could definitely get away with that.
Yeah, so fun. So there's definitely a chance to perform if you come out. We have seminars every day, usually two of them. We have a meet and greet where all the industry that's there kind of go into a room, and then it's a chance for the comics to go in, and that's kind of the most formal thing that we do, where they kind of go in and hand them their promo or talk to them and, you know, stuff like that. But we try to set up the week where the industry is around as much as they can be and the comics are around and stuff, and you can kind of hang out with them. Last year we went through axes the one night, axe throwing, which yeah. is kind of crazy to do with a bunch of drunk comics. But it was fun. There was industry there. People were throwing, yelling, betting. The place loved us. We go out to eat. In the past, we've had bowling tournaments, poker tournaments. We try to put the comics around the industry in a kind of a non-threatening kind of way. And just be around. You get free headshots when you come out.
Nice.
I think the seminars are incredible. I've been doing comedy, like I said, for 27 years, and I still will walk through the room and hear somebody like Jerry Corley talking, and then I'm like, oh, I gotta work harder.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing everything right, and then you hear Jerry talk about something, and you're like, oh, I gotta yep. do more, you know.
No, he's a genius, man. I've done a ton of his classes, got some work with him. Like, he's just amazing.
So. He's an incredible person, great guy, funny. He comes to the festival. I think he's missed one year, which was just terrible. He came out last year, landed, got in his hotel room, and then called me and said he found out he was around somebody with COVID or something like that.
He couldn't come. Dang.
So he had to fly out. So he missed last year's seminar. But, I mean, I think I jumped in and did a seminar then. So, I mean, we have.
Now, do you ever stream the World Series of Comedy to, like, the website or anything like that? So somebody can buy, like, all week a pass to, like, watch all the stuff or enjoy it that way, like, virtually or something like that? Or is that not something that?
No, we do. We started that in 2020 with COVID. And for years, people kept saying, you should stream. And I'm like, I don't have time to figure it out. And
COVID made time.
Yeah, COVID happened, and COVID was terrible, and it was a terrible thing for everybody. But there's a lot of good things that happened for our festival. Almost, I somehow kept it going the whole year. We did online satellites, and we somehow pulled off a live one in November. We kept rescheduling and rescheduling. And But there was a lot of comics that people at home, and we started streaming them, and it worked out great. We streamed every show last year. We gave back to the comics, I think in 2020, I think we gave them $3,000 or $4,000 back to comics. We figured out a way for people to donate, basically pay what you want to watch the stream.
That's so cool.
And anything, whoever's name they chose, every comic who is in the festivals is on a drop-down. They can pick that name, and that comic gets money.
That's so cool.
Back, because it really was fun, man. We handed out almost $2,000 or $3,000 maybe in 2020, and then in 2021 we did another two or three. I can't remember. Jason would know the number exactly, but it was fun, man. I know people think it's crazy, but it was so much fun. Like PayPaling them back. Like the one dude made like $300 some. I was like, this is so great.
That is. That's a good feeling, right? Giving back to the comedians because you know how hard they work.
It was so fun.
I am very excited. Well, I got to go redo my stuff now because I only submitted for 4 satellites. I'm going to have to go do it and edit my stuff now and submit for all the satellites, I guess. So that's
just send me an email and I'll change your registration.
Perfect. Thank you. And then what is your biggest tip or your biggest piece of advice to comedians maybe about the World Series of Comedy? What's the one thing that you maybe dispel rumor or something like that you would benefit comedians?
I don't know. I just work on it. I mean, that's a hard question. I think dispel rumors. Are there rumors? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if people ask me like, oh, is this like the World Series of Poker? Like, I'm going to be famous like Amy Schumer got off of Last Comic Standing if I win this, right, type thing.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get famous. It's the prize is crappy. it's hard. It's work. I make a joke when I'm going up to announce the winners. I go, the people who signed up for this contest are submitting for work. I go, no one that you know is going to pay money to be in a contest to win work. It's just insane. Comics are crazy. I'm one of them. So everything I say is, you know, I've had club owners go, well, why would comics travel all the way here? And then I go, are you a comic? And they're like, no. And I go, then you can't talk to me about this. You're a club owner. You run the club. You do a wonderful job. It's a beautiful club. I said, but we have a different mentality.
Yep.
And we want to be seen. We want to perform. As far as the World Series, I'd say don't enter it if you are entering it to want to win. You should try to win, but don't enter it for the right reasons. And take the time before you spend money for any contest, not just mine, any of them, take the time to read the rules. They took the time to do them. Take 10 minutes, read the rules. It's incredible to me how many people register for this festival, spend $65, then email me questions that in my head I'm going, I wouldn't even have paid for this if I didn't have this answer first. And the answer that their questions are asking are on the website already.
Yeah.
Very seldom. I bet you once a year I get a question from somebody that the answer is not on the website. Okay. And it's on the website the next year.
There you go.
Every time I get a question, if it's not there, I mark it down. I keep the answer that I sent to that comic and put it on the website.
Perfect. That's awesome. I'm so excited. I'm very excited for this year for me because I put it off. I was like, I don't know. But everybody said it's good. Look, and like you said, don't try to win it. Just go experience. Yeah, have fun. And I was like, you know what? I need to get out of LA anyways. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, you're going to meet 100 comics. One of my favorite things that happens with the festival is when Jason and I talk about this all the time, when we're on Facebook and you see somebody in Indiana, a comic posts something and some comic in LA say something rotten, terrible, like we do as comics to each other jokingly.
Right.
But I know that that comic doesn't know this one until the World Series.
Right.
So I made these two guys be able to talk crap to each other, and it's a lot of fun. That's one of my favorite things, seeing comics that I know wouldn't have never met all across the country. And now I see these comics working with each other, and they're driving across the country, and they're like, I stayed at so-and-so's house. And I was like, that's great. They would have had to pay for a hotel room. So they just saved money, and they got to hang out with somebody that they enjoyed hanging out with.
That's awesome.
So it's fun. It's good.
So they can go to theworldseriesofcomedy.com. That's the website. They go there. They can see all the information. There's FAQs, more information. You can see who won last year, all that stuff. You can see all the locations of where all of the satellites are. There's East Coast, Middle America, and West Coast as the different options that you have there. They're staggered from basically starting in March until July so that you guys can have all the time in the world to prepare. Now you have, you know, January, February, and if you're going to do March, I guess you have part of early March to get your stuff together. And then part of the process is submitting a video before you go to the satellite. So make sure that you're doing all those things. And like I said, go read the FAQs. Just like Joe said, read the FAQs, read the information. There's also information that's emailed to you when you sign up too. I went through that whole process, so I wanted to share that with everybody. And is there anything else you want to add to this, Joe?
No, you did a great job.
Thank you.
You announced it all. Yeah, it was great.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on. If anybody has any questions, feel free to email me or call me before they register.
Perfect. There you go.
My phone number's on the website. You can call or email, text, whatever.
I emailed Joe, and he emailed me, like, literally right back. Like, hey, what's up? And I was like, whoa, wow, that was fast. Like, I was not expecting that. So thank you very much.
I work nonstop.
That's because you do what you love, right? Comedy is like a business of love, a labor of love. So I'm so grateful. Well, thank you again, Joe. Thank you for everybody that's listening. Please like and subscribe. Go to theworldseriesofcomedy.com. Check it out. I'll put the link in the description below so you can just click right on it, and it'll take you right to the website. And everybody have a good one. And thank you, Joe. Thank you, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.